I'm really grateful that I'm here, and I'd rather be here than anywhere else. So let's acknowledge the Holy Spirit this morning. As Carolyn was saying, he's a person, he's not a force. And we receive his grace to renew our minds and transform our hearts into the image of Christ. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And we thank him for his power that is given to prevail in our lives. As much as we fight the good fight of faith, sometimes we're struggling, but personally, I try never to give in to circumstances, but I try and fight the good fight of faith and overcome circumstances. So we thank the Holy Spirit that he does not leave us comfortless. He does not leave us to ourselves, but he reveals himself in the person of Jesus Christ and the power of the Word of God. So I'm going to just, the next thing I want to say is this, that God is personal. This morning, he wants to speak to you. He wants to speak to each one of us here corporately. But he wants to speak to you personally. And one of the things that we really need to do, we need to learn how to listen on a continual basis. And I'm not the greatest example of that. But if there's anything, could there be anything more important than to hear God in our life? And how many times has that saved us, provided for us, changed the quality of our life, made our day? So I don't know about you, but I'm trying to make hearing from God obviously one of the most important things that we have in life. What I try and do is, be still. The scripture says, be still and know. So I'm going to just talk a little bit here about pleading the blood of Jesus. We have to learn how to know the blood and relate to it in a way that it becomes effective in our life. Here's what one of the things that E.W. Kenyon says. Most Christians honor the blood of Jesus, sing about the blood of Jesus, and thank God for the blood of Jesus, but so many times they have not learned how to apply the blood of Jesus. I'll talk about pleading the blood of Jesus, which simply means that you know how to apply it to your life, to make it so that it becomes effective in your life. You've got to do more than just believe it. Believe it's there. It's real. You've got to learn how to apply it effectively to your life. Just like in the old covenant, the Israelites applied the blood to the doorpost, and the death angel, of course, passed over. But they had to apply it. Now, under the new covenant, we apply the blood verbally. And so I'm going to just read a few things here because I think they're important, and it looks like I have a lot, but I really don't. Only 10 or 12. No, I'm kidding. So we need to make sure that we are using the blood properly. When a believer understands the authority, the legality, and I don't mean legalism, I mean legality, and the power released when they plead the blood, everything in the spirit realm changes. Okay. Darkness loses its claim. Do we have anybody up there? Oh, there we go. Darkness, thank you. Darkness loses its claim. Trying to get you to agree with it. Accusations lose their force, and obviously our mind is constantly under attack. You know, there are demonic forces assigned to your mind to frustrate and discourage your faith in God. And fear, especially, you know, there's two things. Accusations, which you're under attack every day. You're being accused. You know, who is Satan anyway? He's the accuser of the brethren. That's a clear revelation of one of the things that Satan does. So he's going to accuse you on a daily basis, trying to condemn you and bring condemnation into your life. And then fear loses its grip. He's going to try and make you fearful about the things, the circumstances, and the things that you are going to have to walk through and facing in life. You know, fear will defeat you, and condemnation will condemn you and make you ineffective in applying the Word of God to your life. Most importantly, the enemy loses his right to operate. The believer steps into a level of victory when he pleads the blood, when he applies the blood to his life. Okay. The believer steps into a level of victory. Now, I call it the ultimate level of victory. You know, there's nothing more important than the blood. There's nothing that replaces the blood. There is nothing that can possibly redeem anyone in any way if the blood is not applied to their life. And you can't be passive about it. You have to be actively involved in confessing the blood of Jesus in your life, all right? Now, let me talk about some thoughts about what the blood of Jesus is not. The blood of Jesus is not sentimental language. I guess there'd be nothing wrong with that, but that's not a substitute for the reality of the living blood. It is not poetic expression. I guess it'd be all right to make a poem about the blood. It is not symbolic comfort. In other words, the power of the blood isn't found in flowery speech, careless words, or empty declarations. Okay. I'm going to keep moving along here with my notes because I don't want to... It is the very power of God, the very... when you think about the blood, it's the very power of God, the very substance that shattered the dominion of Satan. Think about it for a minute. It has to take a revelation of the Holy Spirit to understand it. Think about the blood. What is it? What substance is that blood? What substance is that eternal life? Obviously, there's nothing that equals it. There's nothing in heaven or earth that can take its place. It's, if we call it a substance, it has to be the most precious substance in the universe. And none of us probably fully understand what it is, the nature of it, the power of it, the purpose of it, the eternal consequence of it. It redeemed us. You know, and obviously redemption is more than just being saved from hell or having your sins forgiven, although that's a big deal. I mean, we're facing eternity here. We're dealing with eternity. People do not realize that when they die, not having applied the blood or coming under the blood, they're lost eternally. They take it very carelessly, or, you know, unbelief is a terrible thing because they're going to die without Christ. The blood of Jesus is what gives the believer permanent state standing before God. It makes you righteous. In other words, there's a permanent standing before God. In my heart, I have, even though I don't understand the blood, everything about it, I have a permanent witness there. Night and day, day and night, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, there is a profound connection to the blood. It is a, I don't know about you, but in my heart, it's just there. There's a witness in my heart, a reality much greater than anything we see in life in the natural world, a reality of much greater than any kind of attack on our mind. It's permanent. It's a reality that we will When we have that kind of reality, we cannot deny Christ. We will die for him if necessary, but nobody can ever take that reality from you. It's just there. I mean, it is in me. I don't know about everybody else, but I have an eternal assurance in my heart no matter what happens. And the enemy's constantly attacking our minds, trying to get us into unbelief. It's a daily attack. It's a daily battle. Always pointing circumstances out of why God isn't true and God isn't real. But I have and you have this eternal assurance in our hearts that we just would never deny the truth because we have the truth in our hearts. Now, we don't fully understand the whole truth, all the truth and everything, but we do understand that we have a witness, you see, in our heart that is a witness that's greater than anything in heaven or earth or under the earth that can take that witness from us. Like you, I've been through a lot. And I'm not trying to feel sorry for myself. But that witness always was there. That's why it says, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, we love not our life unto the death. We will die for that witness. And when people can't do that, then I don't know if they really have it. I mean, you can, if you don't have it, receive Christ into your heart. And if you do that sincerely, you will have that witness. And you need to stay in touch with that witness. God is speaking to you. And that has kept me and you. You know, through things that the enemy points out and tries to say, see, pointing it out. Well, I'll tell you where he's going to end up because he doesn't have that witness. So overcome, the word overcome makes a powerful statement. Overcome is equivalent to the word spoken by Jesus on the cross. It is finished. There really was never anything after that he spoke that what wasn't done. We have a complete salvation. The blood of Jesus has conquered, subdued, and rendered powerless our adversary, the devil. The blood of Jesus isn't limited to forgiveness, even though there's no, I'm not trying to water forgiveness down, don't get me wrong. It does more than cleanse, which I'm glad it did, because I couldn't deal with it. I couldn't deal with the condition of my heart and the sin that I was in by trying to, through self-righteousness, being a better person. It does more than remove guilt, but I'm thankful it does, because I'm under constant attack on guilt. You know, here's what the enemy's telling you. You're guilty. He tells you that every day. You're not good enough. I printed out some scriptures this morning. I had Carolyn print out, and I'm trying to learn them. And I don't want to get into that right now, but I'm not guilty. You're not guilty. We're declared righteous through the blood of Jesus. Okay. It's not limited to forgiveness. It does more than cleanse the soul. It does more than remove guilt. It is more than an assurance of salvation. That's a big deal. Because you have assurance of salvation. It's right in your heart. And nothing will ever be able to take that from you. Well, we had a little modern technology now with phones, and they're getting more complicated. So it's a living witness. The blood of Jesus is a living witness. It's not a past witness. It's a present reality now. A testimony that speaks better things than that of Abel and what the cross wrought for us. The blood of Jesus isn't past. Not that it wasn't in the past, but very much present. It declares your freedom. It's not something that Jesus just did, but it's something that he is doing now, this instant. Your righteousness, your protection, and your covenant rights. See? What does it mean? Now let's just talk about it just for a minute. I repeat things a little bit over, but I just want you to know that if you haven't learned how to plead the blood, you believe in it, but you're not acting upon the reality of it. The word plead in Scripture carries legal weight. It means to present evidence, to declare a verdict, to enforce rights. Well, the verdict is that you're not guilty. Now, if you're going to sin and live in sin, you're going to feel guilty, a guilty conscience. I don't mean that. Isaiah 43:26 says, "Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together." Pleading is not an emotional appeal. It is a legal presentation. See, if I'm going to live by my emotions, I'm already defeated. It's over. I'll never be able to apply faith. I will never be able to believe God if I am allowing my emotions to rule me. When you plead the blood, you are presenting the blood as evidence before God and before the enemy. And the evidence of the blood is irrefutable. It's evidence that will never change. It's eternal. And it carries the irrefutable truth that can't be changed. It provides It proved the debt is paid. It proved the sentence is satisfied. It proved the curse is broken. It proved the believer is free. Think about it for a minute. I mean, this is so powerful. It means to declare the spoken word what is rightfully yours. It draws a line the enemy cannot cross. It enforces divine protection, and it silenced the voice of fear. Okay. You got to learn to deal with fear, because you're going to be in circumstances that you're going to be tempted to fear. And so the believer must be fully persuaded that what God has promised, he is able also to perform. The believer must believe that when he declares the truth of God's word, he's standing on what has rightfully been provided through the cross. I don't necessarily like to call, I like to take things personal, but it's Jesus that provided that. I can't take credit for it. The believer's confession of faith applied to every situation is active. It needs to be active. You need to activate it. God isn't going to do that for you. Working continually to bring about the desired outcome. I've been deceived many times, or felt, you know, would confess the circumstance instead of the truth. And the Bible is very clear that we are not to give place to the devil. You know, the only way that our circumstance can be victorious, if we're not opening our mouth and giving the devil place. So the 1 John 1:7, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Did he deal with all sin? Did he cleanse all sin? And of course, what I'm trying to say is that the blood cleansed us from the consequences of sin. And the believer must believe that the scripture is true truth. It was true in the past, and it is true in the present. We sing a song, you know, it has never lose its power. Remember that song? It reaches to the highest mountain, goes to the lowest valley. Oh, the blood. I'm not sure what it will. The blood will. I don't know the rest of it, but it's a song we used to sing. I guess it's not popular no more with all the modern. So the blood of Jesus shed on the cross has been actively at work since the day he declared, "It is finished." Okay, we need to get a hold of the fact that it's never lost its power. It may have lost its power to us because we never learn to apply it. Okay, so we see in the Old Testament how they applied it. The Old Testament, the blood had to be placed visibly on the doorposts. It was not enough that the lamb died and the blood saved on one, no one until the blood was applied. Okay. If it wasn't applied on the door, the death angel had his right to bring death to that household. And sometimes, you know, I think we open the door unknowingly. And I've been trying to be very conscious of my words. And I realize that there's times I'm opening the door and I don't realize that I'm doing it. Now, God isn't mad about that, but he can't stop your confession. If it's unbelief, if it's not in line with the word, then God, you know, he's not going to override that. You see, that's why you have to be so enlightened and careful. When you start magnifying death, that's what you're going to get. Satan is waiting for you to magnify with your lips, to speak out of your mouth and believe in your heart. And many times Christians, they don't realize that that's what they're doing. I'm not, I really try and learn to keep my mouth shut. I'm not going to give place to a confession of defeat, failure, sickness, disease. All of that has been defeated at the cross through the blood of Jesus. You have to be very careful. Sometimes you're making statements that is completely opening the door to the blood, to the enemy. So there was a destructive plague that came through representing Satan's work, and the enemy couldn't cross the bloodline. Now note the words spoken by God when used. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. God did not say, when I see your sincerity. He did not say, when I see your desperation. He did not say, when I see your fear. And I see a lot of times Christians get into desperation. All seems lost. And they begin to confess and magnify that desperation because they have fear. What's going to happen to me? God is not, he can't honor. He can't honor unbelief. He honors his word. That's why it's so important that we need to keep our mind renewed. We need to watch every confession that comes out of our mouth. So when God saw the blood on the door, judgment and destruction that came to Egypt because protection for those who it provided who applied the blood. Say applied the blood. Say plead the blood. See that, but it's verbally. You can reverence the blood without pleading the blood. You can even respect the blood, the truth about the blood, without speaking the truth about the blood. This is what you have to get a hold of. See, under the new covenant, the blood isn't physically applied. It is verbally applied. It is spoken. Not just say, well, I believe it. I plead the blood of Jesus over my mind especially. That's an area that I have to plead the blood because that's under attack all the time. And I want to have a sound mind, a healthy mind. I plead the blood of Jesus over my house protection. When I lay down at night, I say, Lord, I thank you that by your blood tonight, you are causing me to dwell in safety. How many know it's a dangerous world? We've got an enemy that wants to rob, kill, and destroy. Then we say, well, what happened? Well, you magnified the devil and his work. He's real. He's here. We're not making light of his power. Okay? So when we apply the blood to our body, to our family, to our path, in order that decisions are aligned with the truth, when your words align with the truth of the blood, heaven responds instantly because heaven moves according to our blood covenant. And just like E.W. Kenyon said, people aren't applying the blood. It isn't just going to automatically happen. You must apply your faith to the truth. And you apply your faith. The hyssop is your confession, your words. Okay. You know, when I get in the car, thank you, Lord, the blood gives me divine protection. You know how many people get killed and smashed up and not to get into a bunch of testimonies, but it saved me more than once. God only knows what would have happened. Okay. See, when your words are truly aligned with the truth, heaven then responds. This is why the enemy fights your understanding of the blood. He fights it. If he can keep you thinking the blood is merely an historical, he can keep you from using it today. Wonderful past history. Nothing wrong with that, but if he can keep the blood in the realm of reverence instead of the realm of authority, you can reverence the blood. You bow your head when you have communion because you have reverence for the blood. But that's as far as it goes. You have no application. It's a dangerous world out there, folks. And he can keep you thanking God for it without applying it. Okay? You got to apply it to your life, your circumstance, your situation. Apply or plead. If he can convince you that pleading the blood is outdated, he can keep you powerless in moments where the blood was meant to protect you, shield you, and silence him. Thinking about, you know, just things like provision, for instance. Do you realize that the new covenant is a covenant based on, it's a covenant of, let me put it this way, it's a covenant of provision based on the Word of God and not the world system. The world system is stealing from us all the time. Just like the statement says, and there's nothing more certain than death and taxes. Huh? But there is something more certain than death and taxes. You escape the eternal penalty of death, and you've escaped. You know, Jesus, when he, you know, I remember a lot of, you know, my past life, and I didn't have anything. I was nobody. I was nothing. But I can think of all the times that I overrode the circumstance in the world system. What I'm trying to say is that your inheritance can't be stopped. And I'd like to minister on that sometime, because we're all conditioned to think in a mind that's imprisoned to the world system. You know, when Jesus needed money to pay his taxes, see, we're not thinking on those levels. But when he needed money to pay his taxes, what did he do? He had a revelation of the Holy Spirit and told Peter to go catch the first fish. Well, that's ridiculous. No, it isn't ridiculous. We just are not conditioned in any way to of that level of applying our faith. God can't stop your provision under any circumstance but you. And so I'm going to close now, but Satan's cunning plan is to keep the believer from understanding the power of the blood. Other things aren't important to him because it has no effect. He wants to keep us thinking historically. God was like that in the past. But But it is different now. He attempts to make you question. How many times have you ever, that question mark popped up? Many times for me. Well, if God's word was real, then what has happened to you? Why are you like this? He attempts to make you question the truth, keeping you inactive and defeated. He can argue with your feelings, which he does. He uses those, doesn't he? He can argue with your circumstances, and he does. And he can argue with your emotions. He does. But Satan cannot argue with the power of the cross. And the cross is the power of God to them that believe. And that's why Revelation 12:11 says, I don't even know I had that scripture in there. Didn't I have that somewhere? Let me just close with that scripture. Because I know I had it somewhere in here. Revelation 12:11 says they overcame. That's not for somebody else. God is speaking to you personally. Okay. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their. Say my testimony. What's your testimony? What is it? And they love not their life. You know, people are too caught up in their life. They're all caught up in their life. And they don't see God's life. And they love not their life. That becomes a temporal priority. But they love not their life unto the death. You see, just like I was trying to say, I can't deny Christ, even if it means my death. And so it's a temporal death anyway. To live as Christ and to die as gain, big deal, you know. You've been wanting to get out of here for a long time. So, you know, that's just the first teaching. I have other teachings on the blood. Derek Prince has good stuff on the blood. Boy, we need to have our minds renewed on how to apply the blood. When you get out of bed in the morning, you need to start magnifying the blood of Jesus in every possible way, thanking him that it's there, it's now, and it's real in your circumstance, instead of feeling sorry for yourself. Stand up with me, would you please? We're going to thank you for your undivided attention. Thank you for coming. Oh, the blood that give me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain.
lowest mountain.
It flows to the lowest valley.
Lowest valley.
Oh, the blood that gives me strength. From day to day, it will never.